Family comes from Western Australia. I grew up in Fremantle, but my Aboriginal heritage is Yamaji and Noongar. So Yamaji's the Gascoyne Pilbara region of Western Australia, sort of the middle section. And Noongar people come from the southwest region, which is where Perth is situated. My family, although we've always known that we were Aboriginal, I've always known that since I was, you know, a baby. We have had three generations stolen in our family, which the last generation was my mum's. And so because of those generations that sort of got removed, it put a big gap in our identity for so many years. And there still is, to a large extent. There's still a big gap in knowledge of our traditional lands and traditions, you know, like customs that were done and traditions that were practiced. We just don't have that knowledge anymore. And so as far as we can go back to trace our Aboriginal heritage, we only get to where colonialism started. So we can only get to the start of all colonization and stuff, which means we just, so much of that, yeah, that traditional knowledge is just lost. It's been a long struggle for my family to sort of, I guess, find the strength in our identity again. My dad's Burmese, so I'm Aboriginal and Burmese. And that's why my mum teaching me to cook, she cooked a lot of Asian food because she learned to cook from my dad. So I grew up with that. That's why this recipe in particular has developed. It's gone from being quite Asian-y when I first started cooking it. Now that I've developed my own palette and flavours that, you know, getting older in life, this is the sort of flavours I like. Still love Asian food, but for a stew and for this meat, I think this is better flavours to cook, to use wine, to use herbs like oregano and rosemary and stuff like that. That's what I can do. Like, I can't play the didgeridoo. I don't know any traditional dances, but I can cook roo tail. So I think that's why it's a way of me connecting to culture, because I've heard other people that grown up in the city, you know, urban Aboriginals or Aboriginals, and it's such a novelty to have any kind of traditional food, like, and someone will actually sort of brag about, like, oh yeah, we had roo tail stew on the weekend, oh, it was deadly, you know. And so it made me realise how it's probably a skill that I never really valued when I was younger, but now that I know I've got the knowledge on how to work with the meat, it's something that a lot of Aboriginal people just don't have these days, because we don't have access to our traditional food as easily as we used to. So I usually start out with the base of carrots, celery, onion and garlic. And I'll add bay leaves, I'll add oregano and rosemary, and usually I'll try and add some Aussie herbs. So this is just wild herbs salt. It's got like pepper berries and native mint and stuff in it. I guess it's the Australian equivalent to mixed herbs, mixed herb mix.
Wow, it smells amazing.
Depending on you know, what people like, I usually like to serve it with on mashed potato. I guess traditionally, kangaroo tail would be eaten with native yams and root vegetables. So I guess that's my modern spin on it, is to serve it with mashed potatoes in place of the yams. Definitely takes me back to a place of family, and you know, in that memory is also my own feelings towards the actual meat and the bones, and looking at the meat and how it changes when it's cooked, and the bones, and thinking about my ancestors having eaten that food for over 40,000 years. And that even though in 2016 I'm cooking it with oregano and red wine, I'm still eating that same meat. and experiencing that same flavour of that meat and how it works, how it changes when it's cooked and it breaks down and it's, you know, oh, so like soft and gelatinous, the meat, how it strings up. And yeah, even looking at the bones, once I've pulled the meat off them, it just makes me think about, you know, how people did used to use everything off the animal, and I wonder what they might have done with those bones. Could they have been shaped into something like a knife or something? I don't know. But, you know, maybe they were just sucked dry and then the kids played with them, or maybe they were all put into the same spot every time they ate that. They, you know, maybe just piled them up over the years like they did with, like with pipi shells and stuff. There's always these midden sites you can go to where like all the shellfish shells or crustacean shells have just been put on the same pile after thousands and thousands of years of eating in the same spot. So you have these midden sites around Australia where people used to gather and eat for thousands of years. And yeah, it makes me think of how my connection to them, and if they thought of me in the future, they, you know, would not have thought of my life now, but surely at some point one of my ancestors thought, and what about my grandkids' grandkids?